Good evening, everyone. ZL2BHF at the mic, ZL2ARG at the moment, and passing the mic to the Vice President of NZART, Stuart Watchman, ZL2TW, who's standing in tonight for Vaughan Henderson, ZL1TGC.
Good evening, Jim, and good evening, everyone, from sunny Nelson. As you've heard, Vaughan's voice has gone non-serviceable due to a cold. The weekend's events commenced for us on Friday, with council meeting a little after 10 a.m, once most councillors arrived in Nelson. To save the cost of an additional night's accommodation, most of us took an early flight to get to Nelson. We met in the Tasman room of the Beachcomber Motor Inn. Fred Johnson, ZL2AMJ, was not able to be with us due to family commitments. The Midlands councillor, Simon Lewis, ZL4PLM, resigned from council last week. Therefore, he was also not here this weekend. Council has resolved to fill the vacancy created by Simon's resignation and would prefer to find someone from the Christchurch area to do this, if possible. A few names were mentioned at our meeting and councillors were tasked with talking to possible interested members over the weekend. The vacancy will be advertised in the next issue of Headquarters Infoline. Simon has also resigned as the VHF-UHF records keeper. As many of you know, Simon was working on an extensive revision of the rules for claiming a new VHF or UHF distance record. Council has agreed that the old rules appearing on the NZART web will remain the current ones, while those submitted by ZL4PLM will remain on the site in draft form until they can be fully reviewed and approved. We will be advertising for a volunteer to become the new VHF-UHF records keeper. A summary of Council's Friday meeting discussions is as follows. Council is pleased to inform you that there is suspension of Branch 80 Hibiscus Coast Radio Society has been removed. The branch has recently satisfied the requirements of NZART Council, and that they now have a branch executive who are all licensed radio amateurs and members of NZART, and now able to operate in accordance with the association's constitution. Council can confirm that the final stages of releasing the 2012 edition of the NZART examination database are almost complete. Radio Spectrum Management have one final question to approve before this can be fully adopted. However, we are confident this will be imminent. RSM have also confirmed to NZART Council that they want only one question database to be used by all amateur radio examiners, and that NZART, being the enduring national organisation representing amateur radio in New Zealand, is their preferred choice. A working group has been formed to monitor and periodically update the 2012 examination database, and I am pleased to advise that ZL1AN and ZL1LW have both agreed to be part of this working group. Subscriptions for 2013. Council has resolved that subscriptions for 2013 will be as follows. Transmitting members, $99. Family, $129. Overseas surface, $100. Overseas airmail, $115. Student, $45. These new subscription rates include a small increase, except for the student subscription, which remains at $45. This is the first time subscriptions have been increased since 2004, so I think that we have done fairly well to hold off any increase until now, and must give thanks to Evan Sayer, our treasurer, for his careful management of our funds. The good news is that the subscription rebate is being reintroduced. I would like to apologise to all of you for last year's decision to scrap the rebate and instead offer a prize of a handheld radio as an incentive to renew. You have let us know, in no uncertain terms, that this is not a good decision and that the rebate for prompt payment is what you want back. So it's back. The rebate for prompt payment of next year's subscriptions would be $10 if paid before 30th November 2012 and will apply to the transmitting, non-transmitting and family memberships. This year, our national headquarters lease is due for renewal at the end of July. Council has been actively seeking alternative premises to house its HQ, as we are very aware that a reduction in expenditure must be achieved wherever possible. Our present landlord has made us an offer to hold the current rental for another 2 years, with a rent review after that time. But to take advantage of that, we have to sign up for another 2 years. We are not sure that it's the best long-term solution and are looking at alternative premises in the Upper Hutt area. We are also looking at the possibility of subleasing part of our office space to help keep the cost of headquarters down. Council has passed a motion that should a sublease opportunity arise with specific terms and conditions being met, that approval for this would be granted to help reduce HQ expenditure. This year we will again be producing a full-size call book. Council feel that we now have sufficient confidence in the Ministry's database and can produce a call book with accurate name and call sign information. Along with the call book, there will be a CD-ROM, and this will have this year's issues of break-in included in a PDF format. We also hope to include the Australian 2012 call book on the CD-ROM. Mike Newman, ZO1BNB, came along to our meeting to give us an update on his activities, and we are very pleased to be told that he is willing to continue in the position of local government liaison officer for some time to come. Mike had previously indicated that he wished to retire, but with the recent spectacular success in Tauranga, he feels invigorated and will continue. Mike also addressed the AGM and gave a brief rundown on his work and the efforts to undertake to secure a good outcome for Tauranga. Mike also held a forum on Sunday morning, giving a more in-depth presentation, stressing that all amateurs must be vigilant of their respective council areas to ensure their voice is heard. Another important point made was that councils review for their management planning standards every 10 years. If an application is sent by an amateur or amateur radio branch within this time frame, there can be tremendous cost to have it heard. If, however, you are aware of when your next district resource management planning is due for review, this is the time to strike, as all applications will be considered. Mike will be providing an article for HQ InfoLine with these items for all members' information. A membership promotion letter will be sent to all non-members by the end of June. This has been a long time in planning. However, Council wish to ensure that this opportunity to increase membership will be well received and see some much-needed interest returned to the association from those who have not renewed or not been a member in the past. Finally, we had a number of visitors to our meeting. Don Wallace, ZL2TLL, gave a brief rundown on events in Geneva and the work he is undertaking with Radio Spectrum Management on our behalf. We also heard from John Walker, ZL3IB, our break-in editor, who brought us up to date with the recent changes to the break-in printer and typesetting arrangements. As you will see from the accounts published in break-in, the cost of producing break-in is a significant chunk of our annual operating budget. John is well aware of this and does regularly look at the alternative printing options. The last time he did this was 18 months ago and resulted in the recent change of printer and typesetting arrangement. John is always on the lookout for more articles for our magazine, so please can I urge you to submit articles to him for publication. We have given John an increase in his budget to allow some more colour pages, and he advised it is not always possible to include colour photos due to placement constraints in the magazine. However, he will endeavour to include them wherever possible. The ARSC management team also met with Council on Friday afternoon to discuss some issues and concerns. We are happy to advise that we have clearly identified areas in which we can move forward and assist each other for the betterment of amateur radio. Saturday morning saw wall-to-wall blue sky. Ali Boswick, Deputy Mayor of Nelson, declared the meeting open, thanking all amateurs and the local ones specifically for all their help in the civil defence emergency last year during the horrendous Nelson flooding. After a conference photo, the annual general meeting commenced slightly ahead of schedule at 8:55 a.m. Vice President Stuart Watchman had to take over during the meeting as the President's voice was fading due to cold he had picked up on his return from the WIA conference in Mildura last weekend. Now for some of the highlights of the AGM. After the initial preliminary details were taken care of, Evan Sayer, our Association Treasurer, gave a very insightful view on how to understand accounting and auditing procedures. Evan reminded us where we have come from since he became Treasurer in 1998, having moved us from a position of technical insolvency in 1999 to having accumulated members' funds of over $246,000 in 2011. Consideration of the remits were next on the agenda. Remit 1 was lost on voices. This resulted in Remit 2 being withdrawn. Remits 3 and 4 were also lost on voices. An amendment to Remit 5 by Nelson Branch was carried and subsequently voted on and also carried on voices. The amended remit now reads that this AGM directs the NZART Council to make formal requests to the managers of the national system that all packet forwarding on the national system be discontinued and the national system become a voice-only system so as to reflect the desire of the greater membership. Remit 6 was carried on voices, and Remit 7 withdrawn on the understanding that the meeting and branches had considered Council's comment published in Break-In, that the matter of an amateur band at 5 MHz is already Council policy and has been actively pursued. Presentations of the ZL1HV Jumbo Goldfree Award badge were made to the following very worthy recipients: Paul Moffat, ZL2PO from Nelson; Alan Wooler, ZL1AUW from North Shore Branch; Calvin Barnsdale, ZL3KB from Christchurch; and a very surprised Stuart Watchman, ZL2TW from the Marlborough Branch. Full details submitted by branches for these nominees will be included in the July issue of Break-In. Last year, Nelson Branch generously donated an award to specifically recognise those new amateurs over the age of 20 who had sat and passed the exam with a 100% pass. 4 badges were awarded this year. These went to John, ZL2JPM from Branch 50, John, ZL2ALK from Hastings, Simon McAuliffe, ZL2SAI from Wellington, and Paul Kaufman, ZL1PAK from North Shore. The final presentation award for the branch with the most exam passes was the Rothschild Cup, which went to North Shore Branch 29 for 19 successful passes. I'd like to thank all the hard-working tutors and branches who run these training programs, bringing newcomers into our hobby. Before our general business commenced, I had great pleasure in awarding Barry Stewart ZL2RR as Amateur of the Year. I think you will agree the work Barry does could be seen as tedious, but Barry has maintained the QSL Bureau in New Zealand for a considerable number of years. He is a very deserving recipient of this award for his commitment and dedication on behalf of us all. I then called Frank Hunt, ZL2BR, from New Plymouth to accept a certificate on behalf of my predecessor, Roy, ZL2KH, as councillor for over 8 years and president of NZART for the last 3 years. The Stirrers Award could have gone to quite a number of members this year, including the president, ZL1TGC, for his comments during the meeting. However, none were more worthy than Anne Fraser, ZL3TNT, for some of her comments made about North Island amateurs. The meeting closed at 2:30 p.m, followed by an excellent presentation from Sharon Dawson of ICOM Communications NZ on ICOM Japan and the history behind how it got to where it is today. The ARSC forum followed at 3:30 p.m, chaired by Jeff Sayer, ZL4JS, ARSC National Director. And I will now read a report prepared by Jeff. The National Director, Jeff, ZL4JS, opened the meeting at 3:40 p.m. and welcomed the 50-odd members to the 2012 ARSC annual meeting. Jeff introduced the 4 area managers, who each gave a brief outline of their background. The National Director then gave a PowerPoint presentation outlining the structure of NZSAR and where ARSC fits into the scheme of things on a national basis, and ARSC's relationships with the various SAR entities, including LANSAR, New Zealand Police, RCCNZ, and Surf Lifesaving. John, ZL4JY, Central Area Manager, went on to outline the improving relationships between LANSAR and Civil Defence as a result of the responses to the Christchurch earthquakes. Gareth Bradshaw, ZL3VP, Area Manager of the Midlands Area, introduced a discussion on the different handheld radios being used in the SAR environment. He noted that where individual sections purchase handheld radios, ARSC nationally will subsidise ICOM radios 100% and the TATES at 50%. The reasoning being that the Tate radios are roughly twice the price of the ICOM units. Notwithstanding that it is expected that sections will seek approval for subsidy from the National Executive via the ARSC Secretary prior to purchase of this kind, any purchase of this kind remain the property of the National Organisation whilst being allocated to the particular section. The National Executive had determined that as a result of the arbitrary reprogramming of the SAR radios used during the Christchurch earthquake, that the Bank 1, that's the first 16 channels, of both the Tate and ICOM sets must be left in the national sequence. If section leaders have queries as to the setup of the sequence, then they should contact this area manager. It should be noted that Tate Electronics have stipulated that the Tate radios can only be reprogrammed by authorised Tate dealers. It should be noted by section leaders that the standard CTCSS tones for all SAR radios is 141.3 Hz and for DOC channels 151.4 Hz. John, ZL4JY, reiterated the requirement that only proper type-approved equipment can be used on the ESB band police and SAR channels as well as the SAR HF frequencies. John also went on to remind section leaders the call signs used on the SAR HF frequencies, that's 5680 and 3023 kHz, should reflect the nearest main geographical centre, not, for example, Mother Goose or Little Pig, as was monitored recently, but not by ARC operators, fortunately. The National Director reiterated the critical requirement for sections to submit activity reports via the pre-formatted form on the ARC website, which is arec.gen.nz. Training. The ARC National Executive, at its face-to-face meeting on the Friday, spent a lot of time on the direction and proposed delivery of training. After much discussion, it was determined that there would be a series of section leader seminars at which the National Training Officer would conduct intensive training for section leaders and deputies who will be expected to take the training back to the sections. The meeting concluded with the National Director expressing thanks to the ARC sections across the whole of New Zealand for their sterling work during the last 12 months. And while on the subject of ARC, I'm pleased to announce that at this evening's dinner, the Nelson Deputy Civil Defence Coordinator Joe Kennedy presented awards to local amateurs for their outstanding services during the December 14th flooding in Nelson, and the recipients were Paul ZL2PO, Eric ZL2HEM, Barry ZL2BAZ, Rob ZL2DO, and Dave ZL2BCA. Saturday's evening entertainment commenced at 6 p.m. with pre-dinner drinks, followed by a sumptuous meal and hilarious local entertainer, bush balladeer, poet and songwriter and author of the recently released book, The Optimist, Roger Lusby. Sunday morning saw a fairly substantial frost but again clear blue skies, although this declined further into the day. Results from the Waro AGM saw Margaret Bretherton, Z01MB, re-elected as President, Vice President Kathy Purdy, Secretary Lynette, Z01LL, Treasurer and Membership is Heather, ZL2TYF, and committee members Bev, ZL3OV, and Marlene, ZL1MYL. The OTC AGM boasted 22 members attending, with Stuart, myself, ZL2TW, chairing the meeting, and Jim, ZL2BHF, being scribe. New office appointments in OTC were Barry Stewart, ZL2RR, as Secretary-Treasurer, and 1st District Representative Steve Miller, ZL1FS, and the OTC break-in scribe is vacant and is still being considered. All other officers were reappointed. The Montgomery Cup, usually presented for best article by an OTC member in the preceding year, was awarded to Roy Simon, ZL2KH, in recognition of his services to break in for OTC for over a decade. This was received with acclamation by the meeting. The IARU committee also met on Sunday morning, considering a number of items, including a revised budget for attending the IARU Region 3 conference in Ho Chi Minh City towards the end of this year. The makeup of the committee was reviewed, as we need to get new people involved with the committee to provide a succession path. The status of papers to be presented at the conference was reviewed. A paper from the chairman of Region 3 concerning ongoing funding and the structure of Region 3 was discussed. The SPAM AGM was attended by 16 members and was chaired by Jim ZL2BHF, with Stuart ZL2TW as scribe. A change of position from the OTC AGM. After 18 years as Secretary-Treasurer and break-in scribe, Roy, ZL2KH, has stepped aside for a well-earned break. Steve, ZL1FS, has been appointed as the new Secretary-Treasurer, with Bill, ZL4AE, filling the position of break-in column compiler. All other officers were reappointed. AMSAT ZL held their AGM with 30 members and supporters in attendance. President Terry Carroll, ZL3QL, presented his report on the progress made on KiwiSat over the past year. The AMSAT ZL committee remains the same, as well as a subscription of $15. Following the AGM, Ian, ZL1AOX, made a presentation showing the new portable clean room. A link via the internet was made to the clean room at Massey University in Albany. The KiwiSat project leader, Fred Kennedy, ZL1BYP, was present to move the webcam while ZL1AOX demonstrated remote control of KiwiSat via computer, driving a dual-band ICOM to send commands over the air. Other forums held throughout today were Techno Club and Ham on Ice, both presented by Calvin Barnsdale, ZL3KB, Homebrew Test Gear, John Walker, ZL3IB, the Radio Tech Forum by Rory Dean, ZL3HB, and the aim at conference was to encourage members to take the idea back to branches to foster interest in radio and electronics. Rory advised us during the AGM that Tate Communications had generously donated $300 to Radiotech to to assist in the financing of this venture. John Yulbin, ZL4JY, gave a presentation on digital voice communications for amateur radio and the challenging role of bringing the Doug Gorman Memorial Frequency Contest into the 21st century to challenge the skills of today's technical minds. His talk touched on the history of frequency measurement in New Zealand and the NZART contest and the technical arrangements used for running the last two contests. An introduction to Arduino was presented by Pete Mundy, ZL2FSK, who demonstrated what could be done with this microcontroller, such as remotely changing frequency on an amateur radio, flashing LEDs, and controlling heaters. Stuart Watchman, myself, ZL2TW, presented a forum on the Marlborough linked repeater system. QRP, mostly homebrew, another interesting forum, was presented by Eric Sears, ZL2BMI. This was a brief illustrated talk on the building of the latest ZL2BMI transceiver. There were a number of homebrew rigs on display. Low-cost spy satellite presented by Rick Kaisig, ZL2HIM. This forum was based on Rick's experience in the space industry, what systems and components are required to build one, how they work, and how to get it launched and operational. A very interesting forum. Finally, Mike Newman, ZL1BNB, our local government liaison officer, presented a forum, as advised during the AGM, on his experiences in opposing district councils and appealing to environment courts for better rules for the installation of amateur radio antennas and their supporting structures. A highlight of this Sunday afternoon was the radio tech session, where 10 lucky attendees got to build a radio receiver or amplifier with all the tools and equipment supplied. The site of Topsy ZL2LS and Sharon ZL2BQ with a soldering iron in the hand had to be seen to be believed. A very big thank you to the conference committee team from Nelson Branch 26 for an absolutely wonderful weekend, weather-wise, entertainment-wise, and food and catering-wise. You have done a fantastic job. Thanks, Jim, and good night, everyone, from Nelson.